You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Allahumma Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings on this 15th day of Muharram 1441, corresponding to Sunday the 15th of September 2019. Once again we say Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affording us this opportunity to increase our knowledge during the Q&A program. This afternoon's Q&A program is brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also a very warm welcome to the esteemed listener of Marcus Sahaba Online, voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and to you, the esteemed listener of Radio Al Ansar in the Durban, Peter Marisburg, local, global regions, as well as to the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in the East Rand. We say a very warm welcome to each and every one of you, and also to a very esteemed Fadil Sheikh Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Saib Hafizahullah joining us on the Q&A program. In advance, we say shukran to all the sound engineers, the technicians as well for joining us, as well as the directors and the amirs of the various radio stations. Well, right now we go into the Q&A. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum afizwadi. Jazakallah khairan to you. We welcome all the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International, Sirius FM, and the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
So to begin our very first question, kindly enlighten us on who was Sayyida Umayma radiallahu anha.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulihil Kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in today's nasiha, I sent out a brief profile on Sayyida Umayma radiallahu ta'ala anha. And she is one of those fortunate ladies that were part of Bay'atun Nisa. When the ladies would come to Medina Munawwara, then they were to take a pledge. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala refers to this pledge in the Noble Quran. And the pledge is mentioned in Surah Mumtahina, Surah number 60 and verse number 12. So there you will find all the details. Otherwise, you go to my website, and that is mufti.mufti.akhosen.net, and you will find all the nasiha there from number 1 to number 10 to 1374. Up to 1374, all with the help and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. And mashallah, we thank our Mawana Ahmed Dokrat Hafidahullah. It's his initiative, and you will find it on the Markaz Sahaba website as well, www.markazsahaba. Those of you who wish to receive the daily nasiha, then make a note of this number, 076-731-0686. 076-731-0686, or those of you in the foreign countries beyond the borders of South Africa, +27-76-731-0686, and save it in your contacts, and then send a WhatsApp message, just write subscribe. to this number, and inshallah, Mawlana Ahmad Dokrat will send you the nasiha on a daily basis. So Almighty Allah accept it. We started with a series of the sahabiyat, the female companions and students of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So mashallah, that is Sayyida Umayma radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was that fortunate lady to take this pledge directly from Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So that Mufti Saab, our next question. Can Mufti Saab please tell us, looking at history, if marriages, nikahs had taken place in the month of Muharram as well as in the month of Safar?
Remember that in Islam there is no prohibition. You can get married during the month of Muharram, you can get married during the month of Safar, you can get married during Ramadan. At all times you can get married. And remember Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then remember that demolished and abolished this belief. If you study the Battle of Khaybar and you see there the Muslims defeated the Jews, and thereafter Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikah took place with Sayyida Safiya radiallahu anha. So it shows it was still in the month of Muharram. And for Safar, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith in Bukhari Sharif, La Safara, there is no bad luck, there is no suffering, there is nothing superstitious about the month of Safar. So we must never entertain these type of pagan beliefs. Islam came to abolish all this. Islam says time is like a container. What do we pour in that container? Are we pouring zamzam there? Or are we going to pour blood or urine, Allah forbid, something napak, impure there? So all to do with our aqidah, our belief structure, and our deeds and actions. So that is what Islam will say. We must never say that this month or that month or this day is an unlucky day, is a bad day. Nay, we say that time is neutral. It is how we use it. And certain days, certain nights, Almighty Allah has given them that auspicious rank and status, like the month of Muharram, like the day of Ashura, like 15 Shaban, the days and nights of Ramadan Mubarak, and so on, Laylatul Qadr, and so forth, day of Arafat. So Almighty Allah selects whatever He wishes. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَرُ.
Sakallahu khair for that. Mufti Saab, our next question. What is halala? Please explain this.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in the noble Quran has explained regarding the laws of talaq. And Surah 65 in the noble Quran is Surah to Talaq, the chapter on divorce. But let us go to Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, and we will find there in Surah number 2, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks about talaq in various verses. But the verse that concerns us now is this particular verse, and that is verse number 229-30. Almighty Allah states, At-talaq marratan. If a person gave his wife one talaq, one divorce, whether he uttered it or wrote it out, then after the one talaq, one divorce, he could take his wife back during the iddat and during the waiting period without renewing the nikah. And then the second talaq, same thing. But if the iddat expired and they want to reconcile after one or two divorces, then a new nikah, a fresh nikah will have to be performed after the iddat has expired. Thereafter, in Surah chapter 2, verse 230, Almighty Allah states, فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا. If he, the husband, gave his wife talaq, this is the third talaq, now third divorce, فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ, then she, that wife, will no more be halal and permissible for him, so he can't reconcile with her, مِمَّا بَعْدُ for future, حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا, till she gets married to somebody else, after the iddah, that person has to consummate the marriage, and thereafter that he gets married, then he divorces her, or he passes away, and then the second iddah, second waiting period, and then if she wishes, she can get married to the first husband. However, today some people want to short circuit the system and look for loopholes. So this person, ABC we call him, he divorced his wife, triple divorce. Three talaqs he gave her, في وقت واحد at one time, or that is sinful, but the three talaqs are valid according to all four schools, the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, the Hanafis, or he gave the three talaq over a period of time. Now the iddat she's finishing, and he tells his friend or some associate, he, that friend, must marry his ex-wife. And this is all pre-arranged. And thereafter, she will get married to that person. So ABC's ex-wife will marry XYZ. XYZ will consummate the marriage with her and spend 1-2 days or 1-2 hours with her. And thereafter, he will divorce her. And then she will go into iddat. And thereafter, she'll get married to that first husband. And this is after the iddat has expired. So that is what people in their terminology, they call halala. Well, it is not permissible in Islam. The hadith is authentic, mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Mustafa Habilu Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La anallahu al-muhallila wal-muhallala lahu. Almighty Allah's curse is on that first husband and the second husband. And she, this lady, will not be halal for the first husband, the ex-husband. And remember, that is the fatwa of the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and Imam Abu Hanifa's two greatest students. And that is Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah. And that is the fatwa according to all four schools, that to make a marriage like this, conditions and mock marriage, like the mut'ah and prostitution some people practice on, remember, definitely is condemned in Islam and not permissible.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti Sahib. Next question. Kindly explain to us which is ayat and ayat of Noor.
Remember that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala tells us, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. The entire surah is entitled Surah Nur, chapter number 24. We told you previously as well. Our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Allimu nisa'akum Surah An-Nur. So chapter 24, verse number 35, there Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks about His celestial light, His radiance, His effulgence. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. There the example, parable of the celestial light is like you have a niche. You know, in the wall you have a niche, and in there there's a lamp. And this lamp, remember, is now covered by light. So all this has to do with the wahi and revelation and the message of Islam. Everything of Islam is nur, radiance. Today, when you look at the micro and the macro, our beloved South Africa, and you look at the macro, and that is the whole world. So Muslims are under attack. Remember that. Islamophobia is increasing day by day. So what is their agenda, the enemies and their media? يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. Their motive and intention is to extinguish the celestial light, the Sharia, Deenul Islam, the Ulama, the Hufaz. They want to silence them with the voice of truth, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouths and their media. Almighty Allah inspires every Muslim who's a true mu'min and believer, male and female. Wallahu mutimmu nurihi walau karihal kafirun. Almighty Allah will let the celestial light spread throughout the whole world, and it will prevail everywhere, even though the non-Muslims hate it and detest it. And you can see how the tide is turning. So people are seeing the true colors of the Indian Modi terrorist government, what they are doing there in Kashmir. You can see what Netanyahu and his cronies are doing there. Remember, he's so crazy for power. He's doing everything that he can do, and he thinks that he will win the elections on this. Almighty Allah disgrace and humiliate them further. Then you find that the Chinese, what things they are doing, forcing the wine and swine upon our Muslims in the month of Muharram in certain parts of China. Then you look at, you must remember, there the Rohingya Muslims, there in Burma, in so remembered, again they are being slaughtered and so forth. So the whole, and Christians, what they are doing in Afghanistan and Iraq. So everywhere the Ahlul Sunnah are under attack, and then the Alawi regime there in Syria, what they are doing against the Sunnis. So all this is manifest, that these are all the shaitans and enemies of Islam, and Almighty Allah is humiliating them, and Islam will spread far and wide.
Mufti Sahib, pertaining to the Durude Tunjina or Tunajina Wazifa, how many do you read? How many times do you read?
First and foremost, we belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We should know and understand. Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 56. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us and informs us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسْوَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Verily Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala and His angels, they send salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, iman walo, O you who believe, 89 times this wonderful, beautiful phrase is mentioned in the noble Quran. Swallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, read salat and salam upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Open Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Mishkat, Mustad Ahmad. Sahaba came, the beloved students, and they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know how to convey salams to you, but how do we read salawat, salutations upon you? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. You want to add the word Sayyidina? Very good, we all read like that, it's fine. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina, so that also is acceptable and permissible. So that is the best Durood Sharif, salawat, salutations to read upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as Durood Tunajina goes, or Tunjina, whichever way you want to pronounce it, remember these are man-made. These are not wahi and revelation. So some waliullah, he saw in a dream, these are the words, and the difficulties would be removed. So we will say that to read Durood Tunjina, Tunajina is permissible, but not sunnah. Always, if you have a choice and an option between sunnah and what is permissible and man-made, then rather give the sunnah one preference. When we read that which Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself read and taught us, Surah 3 verse 31, Fattabi'uni, follow me immaculately, imitate me, Ami Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yuhibbukumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala will forgive your sins. So it shows that is a win-win situation. So yes, if you want to read it, but it's only permissible, not sunnah.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question is pertaining to a lady. She's in iddat and she is ill. Is it allowed to take her to the hospital?
If her condition is such, her husband gave a talaq, so her iddat is 3 months, or her husband passed away, and now her iddat is 130 days, and now she fell seriously ill, her condition is deteriorating, and the doctors say even if they come home, they too, you know, administer medication, but still they will have to admit her into hospital and so forth, then we have a law in Islam, الضرورات تبيح المحظورات. If it is matter of life and death, if it is a case where her health, her condition will deteriorate, then for her to go to the hospital or so forth, spend 1-2 days, 1 week there, all that would be permissible. However, if it is a headache and stomach ache and back ache and all these type of things, then there's no need for her to go to the doctor or hospital in the hospital. She can then tell the doctors to come there. And remember, a house call, and many doctors do that today, they might charge a bit extra, but in that way there, then it will be compulsory upon you that you stay in the confines of your home. Remember you, my mothers and sisters, during iddat, you can't be roaming around and loafing around. Many of our sisters today, ma'al asaf is shadid, this is something very, very unfortunate. They do not observe the laws of iddat, and then they're going shopping, they're going visiting, they're going driving, and lot of things. All these are haram and not permissible.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Next question we have. It says, with the terrible torture India is inflicting on Muslims, which we see on social media, is it permissible to support India by buying products or clothing made in India?
Remember that India is just one example. There are so many countries that are torturing and persecuting our Muslims. I just gave you a few countries now. The apartheid regime of Israel, China, and you must remember that you look at Iraq and you look at Afghanistan. Who are the people causing harm there? So whatever we can do, we must make dua. So read Surah 10, Surah Yunus, verses 85, 86. رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh, beloved Allah, do not make us a trial and a target for people who are the zalims and the oppressors. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Ya Allah, you save us through your mercy from a people who are the disbelievers. On your own, you feel your conscience don't allow you. Why must we support those people, those countries that are oppressing our Muslims? Our mothers, sisters are getting raped and so forth. Our men are being executed and tortured. So that is very, very good. But remember, by the same token, if a person buys something, then you can't tell him or her that it is haram. So we need to be very careful in that regard as well. So we will say it is the individual's choice. If he or she feel that they want to boycott, well and good. But if another person wants to purchase, then he will not be told that it is haram or not permissible. So yes, it is one option the Muslim Ummah can exercise.
Mufti Sahib, it's already exams at most institutions. And the next question is a dua for exams and success in exams. What can one read?
Remember that you can't just be reading and expecting to pass come Lord Day, you know, with distinction. You have to make effort. لَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. For human being, there isn't except that what he makes effort for and he strives for. So you have to burn the midnight oil, as they tell us. Then remember that, inshallah, you will pass. So my advice to all of you who are writing examination in the madrasa, in the school, or wherever, so read حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِئْمَ الْوَكِيلُ فَنِئْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئْمَ النَّصِيرُ. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِئْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Surah 3, verse 173. Allah Jalla Wala is sufficient for us. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is the best one to take care of our matters and affairs. Then read the ending of Surah Hajj, Surah 22, verse 78. فَنِئْمَ الْمَوْلَىٰ وَنِئْمَ النَّصِيرُ. Verily, Allah, you are the best protector, the best helper. Ya Allah, protect us from disgrace. Ya Allah, help us with your unseen help. Let us pass all the examinations in this dunya, in this world, in the qabr and in the grave, and in the akhirat, in the year after, with flying colors, O Almighty Allah. So that is the true dua of a true Muslim.
Mufti Sahib, next question has come from a family where they have a son that is blind. Can Mufti Sahib advise or recommend an institution for him to study?
Today, 15th Muharram 1441, was a historic day in my life with Almighty Allah's help. Hadha min fadli Rabbi. After Fajr, we have advices in our Jami Masjid, and then I went to Darul Zakaria, and there our Honorable Ustad and Sheikh Hazrat Mufti Rizaul Haqsab make dua for Honorable Ustad. He underwent an operation, knee replacement, and obviously he is in a lot of discomfort, pain. Almighty Allah grants him complete shifa, and Almighty Allah grants cure to all those people who are ill. So, mashallah, we finished up there with the majlis and so forth. All this report, you can listen to it on Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the details tomorrow between 2 and up past 2, inshallah al-Aziz. So, in around 9:30, I left from Darul Zakaria, and we had another jalsa to attend to. There is one of our brothers, and we read Salat together. It's called the Sufi Masjid here near my house. So normally I go for Asr Salat, Maghrib Salat there. So there is this brother, Haji Abdul Hamid Ismail. He is originally from this part of the world, Johannesburg. But in the 80s, he had to take his only child, his beloved daughter, and she was born blind. And he had to take her to Marisburg, and lo and behold, There in Maritzburg, there was the school, you know, under apartheid for Indians, where she could study. And at the same time, Maulana Hassan Mirchi, Almighty Allah, accept all his service that is rendering to Islam, acceptance. So Maulana opened his Madrasa to Nur Lil Makfufin for the blind. And today, mashallah, yeah, in lands, we had a jalsa for our sister, our Haji Abdul Hamid's daughter, Sister Razia, born blind. She's a Hafiza, she's a Alima, and now she's starting her madrasa here for the blind and the visually impaired, you know. So we were there, and Moana Hassan Mirchi was there, Hafiz Qasim Barak was there, mashallah. So it was a wonderful atmosphere to listen to the challenges the parents face, the daughter faces, and the teachers face. And everything now is transcribed from print into Braille. And subhanallah, you know, that they have a special typewriter and how they do it and so forth. So it was something very, very historic. And you know, if you study our South African history, on South African soil, we find that the first Darul Uloom was Darul Newcastle. And in 1973, Hazrat Mohan Qasim Sema Rahimahullah started Darul Newcastle. And 1983, we had our first batch of graduates on South African soil. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. In 1986, Mona Hassan Mirchi of Peter Maritzburg started this madrasa, and now the madrasa is gone to Sidara, about 18 kilos, 20 kilos from Maritzburg, and there he has 50 students. So mashallah, your son is blind, you enroll him there, speak to Mona Hassan Mirchi, and inshallah, he can become a Hafiz, he can become an Alim, he can do so many things inshallah, and there are 50 students there. I just mentioned one thing. That in my talk I said, oh people, today our daughter is blind and she's become a Hafiza Alima, and today we have Madrasatun Nur for the blind and the Lanesha chapter. So what is the fadilat? By Almighty Allah there's always virtue. Almighty Allah will address the blind people on the day of justice. O people, you could not see here on this earth. Today, all the pardas and veils and curtains are removed, and you will be the first people to see Ru'yat Bari Ta'ala, to see Almighty Allah. That is the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah. Anbiya alayhimu salatu salam were blind. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam went blind. He cried to Allah, innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah. Ya Allah, my handsome Yusuf is gone. Years have passed. Ya Allah, you give me that sabr. You give me that patience and endurance. Tomorrow in Tafsir at 1:05, you on Radio Al Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, you will listen to chapter number 80 of the Noble Quran, Abasa wa Tawalla, Anjaul A'ma, the blind Sahabi, the Muazzin of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and see how Almighty Allah elevates their rank. Sahaba, blind, but subhanallah, they become the Muazzin of the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abdullah bin Abbas becomes blind, Abdullah bin Umar becomes blind, and these are the senior Sahaba. If you want to study tafsir and commentary and exegesis of the Noble Quran, then you must study the works of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. You want to study hadith, you have to study the work and contribution of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. This is what the ulama have done. Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kishk, remember, in Egypt, born blind, and the time the Waliullah, Madar Azad Wali, what we call, the day he was born Waliullah. When the time came for death, Sheikh Abdul Hamid Kishk Rahimahullah passes away in Sizda in Cairo. These are the great, great Salaf Salih, our pious predecessors. So you, my son, in life, don't worry about people. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah is giving you this opportunity. Mona Hassan Mirchi and them have made the first Braille Quran in 30 parts. Every Jew's one part. First ever in the world. And now they are sending it out to all the blind schools and blind madrasas throughout the world. We really, really appreciate the great contribution Maulana Hassan Marchi, his students there, Sheikh Hussein, mashallah, is my student also. He studied at Darul Newcastle, and he's busy with all this braille. He's become an expert, and subhanallah, this is the contribution from Maritzburg. The message came from Jabal Nur, Ghari Hira, to Madrasa Nur in Maritzburg, and now the Nur is going from South Africa to all parts of the world. Oh Ummah, wake up from our slumber and do something that can empower this Ummah, and inshallah we become an asset to humanity. Almighty Allah give us tawfiq.
I mean, Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us now to 14:30. This afternoon's Q&A program is brought to you exclusively by the Capital Group of Companies, solely and only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We continue with the Q&A after this break.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program live from our Durban studios. Well, that's where I am, and Mufti Saab is at the main studio that is in Lanesha. Mufti Saab, our very next question, our very next query, and many people at times ask this particular question pertaining to Dajjal, a description of Dajjal. Some want to know, is he one-eyed? Would he have two eyes? Can Mufti Saab assist us with this?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala sent Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as Rahmatul Alameen, a mercy to the entire creation of Almighty Allah. And this title is exclusively for Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every Nabi warned his people about Dajjal, but I am giving you certain descriptions. Remember, on his forehead is written Kafara, Kafir. And then I'll tell you about his eyes. His one eye, Tafiya, it is protruding and damaged. And the other eye is right inside. So you have both eyes, but both are damaged. And then as a Muslim, read the following dua. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, Sunan Nasai, Mishkat Sharif. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil masihid dajjal. O Almighty Allah, I seek your protection from the trials, tribulation of the Dajjal. He's called Dajjal, the biggest deceiver. Masih, what is the meaning of Masih? Mamsuhatul Ain, that his eyes are damaged. So his eye is damaged, therefore he's called Masih. And what will happen to him when he emerges? Then already you must remember that he's in existence already, and Tamim Dari radiallahu anhu's hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi. So Nabi Hazrat Mahdi will come down, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, second coming will take place, Dajjal will emerge. His first day will be for 1 month, and then like 1 year, and then the second day will be like 1 month, and third day will be like 1 week, and then the remainder will be like normal days and normal nights. He will enter everywhere beside Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa. These three places he will not enter. And remember, he will create and have chaos and all that. Who will be his followers? You must remember, it's mentioned in Sahih Muslim. They will be Sab'un Alfan min al-Yahud. 70,000 Jews will be his followers, the masters of deception. And remember, all that will continue. So we have to prepare from now already that the Dajjal, you see, that the one-eyed, his one eye is working, one eye is damaged. So he will deceive people. Today we live in a world of deception. People are telling us this, people are telling us that. The iman is getting weaker and weaker, and the deception is increasing all the time. So we have to say takdhibul khabar and tasdiqul khabar. We have to say takdhibul nazar and tasdiqul khabar. We have to believe in the Quran Sharif. We have to believe unreservedly, unconditionally in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is tasdiqul khabar. And takdhibul nazar, and reject what we are seeing, the deception we see. So because all these are the plots and the plans and schemes of Dajjal, so what is happening now is the platform is being made for the Dajjal's emergence. Today you go to occupied Palestine, between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, you will find a place called Babul Lud. So they call it Lod, L-O-D. And there Nabi Isa alayhi salatu salam, one of his primary objectives will be to kill Dajjal and dispatch him straight to Jahannam. And that will take place in Lod. So many things will take place there in occupied Palestine. And today you can see all these signs becoming manifest.
JazakAllah khair for that. Mufti Saab, if employees talk about their boss behind his back, negative things about him, is this considered as backbiting or ghibat?
100% you must remember what is ghiba. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zikruka akhaka bima yakrah. That you speak behind the person's back, and if he was there, he will feel very, very hurt, and he'll dislike it. So when you speak against your boss, you speak against your teacher, you speak against, you must remember, your sheikh or whoever, so all these type of things will be considered and constitute ghibah. The problem today is the ummah is so accustomed to ghiba, they don't even consider it a sin. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Do not backbite and gossip of one another, O brothers and sisters. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Would you live to eat the flesh of your brother, meaning the brother who's dead, now you eat his flesh? Nay, every person will say, no, he hates it. So that is ghibat in Quran Kareem teaching us. And this is mentioned in Surah 49, and that is Surah Hujurat, and verse number 12, Almighty Allah has mentioned it. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. From some perspectives and dimensions, ghibat, backbiting, gossiping is even worse than fornication and adultery. In fornication and adultery, both parties are happy, although it's haram and it must be punished severely, 100 lashes for each party if it is fornication, and capital punishment, death penalty for adultery. But in ghiba, you are making and the other party is not happy about it. So therefore, from that dimension and perspective, it is worse. So we must learn about the Salaf Salih. Al-Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail, he says, the day I heard ghibat is haram, from that day I never made ghibat of anybody. Almighty Allah selected and chose his book, Sahihul Bukhari, to be the greatest book after the Noble Quran. And he says, I have firm conviction, Almighty Allah will not question me on the day of justice regarding ghibat, because I did not backbite and make ghibat of anybody. Imam Abu Hanifa, the genius and the giant, used to wear a ring. On that ring was engraved, Jirmuhu Saghir, wa Jurmuhu Kabir. The size of the tongue is small, the crime it commits is big. Subhanallah. So many lessons for all of us. But remember, yet it has become our favorite pastime. May Almighty Allah protect us from all these type of vices and these type of spiritual sicknesses.
I mean, Mufti Saab, are fake nails and fake eyelashes permissible?
All this are absolutely haram in Islam. When the Iblis was kicked out and expelled from Jannah, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, we say, he was transferred from Jannah. But for Iblis, the Shaitan, all of them, we say, he was expelled from Jannah. So he lands here on this earth, the Iblis, and his awlad, and his agents, and cronies, and all his, you know, friends. So he takes various oaths. Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 119. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. He, the Shaitan, took an oath and said, Wallahi, I am going to lead them astray. How? By commanding them to change the creation of Allah. Now look at people, we have nails. As Muslims, we are supposed to clip our nails every Friday, every fortnight. Inna Allah nazifun yuhibbul nazafa. Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah Jalla wa'ala is very, very clean and loves cleanliness. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is very, very beautiful and loves beauty. So all these ahadith in Mishkat Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif. But this Ummah today, they think the West is the best and white is right. So they want to mimic the West. So the lady has big, big now fake nails. And the men also, some of them. Then fake eyelashes, fake this, fake that, all haram. So people today are so confused. Dear Makar, we say in Afrikaans, they don't even know their own gender, you know, on my travels. So when I travel, I see Ajib things, very, very weird and strange. You have bathroom, gents, male. You have bathroom, female. Third one, mixed up gender. Allah's Dear Makar, Allah can live here, Allah. They mixed up, they don't even know who their gender. They were male, but they became transgender, so the Adam became Eve. And the Eve decided she was become Steve. So now Eve and Steve are in the same bathroom. So because that is the third group, the mixed up one. So Islam curses all this type of people, all this type of doctors, professors, who carry out all this type of operations and so forth. So Islam is pure and chaste. So there's no place for all this type of fake. We have enough fake news, and now we want to have fake people and fake eyelashes and fake nails. So just now you'll get a fake husband also, and a fake wife and a girlfriend also. And all these satanic things are happening. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala protect us from Iblis wa Junudi. Allah, the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min Iblis wa Junudi. Oh Allah, Jalla wa Allah, I seek your protection from Iblis, the big, big shaitan, and all his cronies and agents.
I mean, Jazakallah khair. Mufti Sahab, how does one protect one's business or institution from the Hasidin?
Whenever a person is successful in life, it is something natural phenomenon. You take Iblis, that he was now the main one in Jannah. He is like the teacher of the Malaika. And his name was Azazil. Iblis' name was Azazil. Highly respected by the Malaika because he had so much knowledge. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala created the jinn, created the Malaika, all before Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Then Allah Ta'ala created the universe from Saturday right up to Thursday, 6 days. As mentioned in Sahih Muslim, on Friday, Almighty Allah created the masterpiece, Nabi Adam alayhi salam. O Malaika, usjudu li Adam. All of you prostrate, make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. All of them simultaneously went into sajda, illa Iblis. Iblis is hasad, his jealousy, envy, his pride and arrogance got the better of him. Aba wastakbara, he defied the command of Allah. His pride and arrogance got the better. He even tried to justify it. Qala ana khairum min. Oh Allah, I will never make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. Allah forbid. I'm superior, better than him. خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. You created me from fire, the flame goes upwards. You created him, Nabi Adam alayhi salam, from sand, dust and clay, that remains on the land and sand. So therefore I will not make sajda. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala expelled him, and forever he's expelled. He'll never see Jannah and paradise again, Iblis. So we want to protect ourselves from jealousy. So read Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from those who are jealous and envious. And remember, read the Manzil. Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu wrote that book for this very specific purpose. People want to make jadu, sihr, witchcraft, and jealousy, the evil eye. So many different things. So how in your computer you put the firewall, so this is how you put the mechanisms of protection around yourself. And those who are jealous, remember this is what awaits you. Hadith in Abu Dawood, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Iyakum wal hasada, abstain from jealousy, envy. Fa innal hasada ya'kulul hasanat, kama ta'kulun narul hatab. like how the fire, it destroys and consumes the wood and nothing is left. The jealousy will consume and expunge and erase and eliminate all your good deeds. And the person is burning with a jealousy. قُلْ مُوتُوا بِغَيْرِكُمْ O you non-Muslim, you hate the Muslim because we have resources, we have peace, we have tranquility. So we tell them, die with your anger and jealousy. So that is what Islam is teaching us. Beg Almighty Allah, we don't fall in that category where we are jealous of others. And if others are jealous of us, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهِ لِمَنْ بَغَى عَلَيْنَا Ya Allah, you sufficient for us, for those who rebel against us. Hasbunallah liman hasadana. Ya Allah, you are sufficient for us from those who are jealous of us. Hasbunallah liman kana bina bisu. Ya Allah, you are sufficient for us, for those people who are plotting and planning evil things against us. And always you will see Allah's help is with a mahsood, the person people are jealous of.
Mufti Sahab, next question comes from a widow, and she has received a proposal, and she says her brother does not want her to marry this person, the reason being that he is poor. Kindly comment, Mufti Sahab.
Yes, if he is poor and he can't really take care of you and so forth, so you must remember that is a valid reason. In time of Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was Fatima. And the Sayyidah, not Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's daughter, another Fatima. Sayyidah Fatima, and she was divorced and so forth, and now proposals started coming. So one Sahabi proposed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, don't marry him because he's very poor. Another Sahabi proposed, Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't marry her, because he likes to hit the wives and the women all, meaning he got a terrible temper. Meaning, what you know, he won't be a suitable spouse for you. Then another person, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, Inkihi Usama, that you marry Usama, and words let it come. So you must remember that that is how Islam teaches us, that if your brother is not happy, or your father is not happy, and they got a valid Shari'i ground, so yes, it is permissible for them to intervene, and for you to marry, that would not be permissible.
Jazakallah khair for that. Mufti Sahab, which is the proper method of applying surma to your eyes in each eye? Do you apply once or thrice in each eye?
Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Alaykum bil ithmid fa innahu yumbitu shar wa yajlu al basar. Is authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. It will sharpen your eyesight, your vision, when you use ithmid. I-T-H-O-I-S-M-I-D. It is pinkish, reddish in color. If you go to the spice shops there in Madinah Munawwara, Makkah, you will find it there. So nevertheless, that you apply that in your eyes, and that is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would apply it thrice in the right eye, thrice in the left eye, and this was the sunnah mubarakah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam prior to sleeping at night. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to spend some time resting also in the afternoon qaylula. But the surma and kuhul, remember, was nighttime, thrice in the right eye, thrice in the left eye. And if you want details, open Shama'il Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, is buried in Uzbekistan. The celebrated student of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Imam Bukhari is buried there next to Samarkand in Khartang. And lo and behold, that he wrote the book called Shama'il Tirmidhi. Hazrat Sheikh Mohammad Zakariya, nawwarallahu marqadahu, translated it in Urdu. Our ulama in South Africa, jazahumullahu khaira, wonderful translation, and every one of you should procure a copy of the English version if you do not know Arabic and Urdu, Shama'il Tirmidhi, and there you will find a whole chapter regarding the surma and tamani kuhul, babu ma ja'a fi kuhli rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all these discussions you will find there.
Mufti Sahab, next question reads as follows. It says, my boss is gay and has a husband. Do I still have to observe niqab with him?
You must remember, if your husband is gay And Allah forbid, we don't know in this context what you mean, if he's really having affair with another person, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve business he wants, then you must leave him and go out of that marriage. You can't be living with such an immoral, khabith person. Almighty Allah for such people uses the term khabith. Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin, wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat. Surah 24, verse 26. And if you mean by gay that he wants to sodomize you, the wife, so that also is absolutely haram in Islam. Mal'unun man ata imra'atahu fi duburiha. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith commenting on Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 223. Quran Kareem speaks about husband-wife intimacy, conjugal rights. Nisa'ukum harsul lakum fa'atu harsakum anna shi'tum. So remember, there are some people who are not Muslims, but they think that they are Muslims. They like all this backdoor business, and they do it and practice it. I have thousands of their fatwas and books. So you must remember that you will find that these shayateen, they do all these type of things. So if your husband is involved with another male, or he wants to sodomize you, then it is your duty. You go to your ulama, you go to your jamiats in your area, or any organization you have confidence in, and go apply for a fasakh and annulment of marriage, and don't share the bed with him, because Allah forbid, you might get AIDS, or you might get sexually transmitted diseases. This is when people are now unnatural, because they are mentally sick. They see on the screen, they get addicted to porn, and they want to do all these things which they see. And then the shaitans will say, Almighty Allah created us like this. That is an act of kufr when they blame Allah. So remember their own weakness, their own vices, but they want to apportion the blame to Almighty Allah. No, it's Allah's fault. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Allah created us like this. So that's another big crime. So my advice to you, sister, whether your husband is gay, Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve business, or whether he is gay in this sense, he wants to sodomize you. So remember, in both cases, my advice, leave him. He is bad news. He's khabith, he's impure, he's immoral. And this is our new freedom, our new South Africa, 25 years in democracy, Bill of Rights, human rights. What good is that human rights, you must remember, that made South Africa one of the capitals of AIDS? I ask you. And then the pandemic is now beyond control. South Africa, Swaziland, all in front of you. And these people say they will solve it with the condomization, give everybody a condom. Nay, the only solution for the crime, for the corruption, for the AIDS, you have to bring Islamic law. Make 10 people a sample, an example, and the whole problem will be solved. Make these crooks who are stealing, looting, plundering, amputate 5 of their hands and see South Africa, what a state country it will become. These chaps who are involved in adultery and gay business and all these things, apply the death penalty. That is Islam, uqtulul fa'il wal maf'ul, and see what a great country we will be. Otherwise, we can just fool ourselves. We will not progress, we will retrogress. May Almighty Allah have mercy on us and protect this beautiful, beloved country of ours.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, kindly explain, what is Dabbatul Ard?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks about the Qiyamah and the signs of Qiyamah. So you know, Hafizab, I'm sure you went for Umrah, you went for Hajj, and where Safa and Marwa is, so they are the hills. And Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks about that, Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah. That Safa and Marwa are the symbols and the landmarks of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So there next to the hill and the Mount of Safa, so in the days to come, so remember, Almighty Allah will let the Khurujud Dabba take place. That Almighty Allah speaks of it in the Noble Quran, Surah chapter 27, and that is Surah An-Naml, and verse number 82. Almighty Allah states, وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and when the speech and the verdict is passed against them, that these people are doomed now. They don't want to bring iman. They're inviting the wrath, the anger, the chastisement, punishment of Almighty Allah. أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. So we will produce for them the dabba, the big, huge, huge animal. It will come from that side there, Mount Safa side. And what will it do? تُكَلِّمُهُمْ, it will speak to them. Animals speaking to them in the Arabic language. And then, أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُكِنُونَ. Yet the people will not have firm conviction, because now the time for Tawbah is finished. طُلُوءُ الشَّمْسِ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا. The sun will rise from the west. And remember, all these signs will become a reality. So the doors of Tawbah will be closed also. So that is دَابَّةُ الْأَرْضِ. You see, this is Quran. Our problem we have with the Qadianis, Ahmadis, they want to make everything seem palatable, acceptable to the West. I read all these tafsirs and commentaries by these shaitans, these Ahmadis and these Qadianis and them. So see how they made tahriful Quran, how they interpolated the Quran, how they distorted the message of the Quran. Quran Kareem, Surah 27, verse 82. أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِّنَ الْأَرْضِ تُكَلِّمُهُمْ. So this dabba, this big, huge animal will come and speak to them in the Arabic language. So the Qadiani, لَأَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah's curse be upon them, and the Ahmadis also. They say no, yeah, تُكَلِّمُهُمْ and تَكْلِمُهُمْ. That this animal will come out and wound the people, injure the people. They want to make it palatable, acceptable to the West. So therefore, they even distorted the message of the Noble Quran. Nay, Islam is supra-logical. Beyond our puny little brains, we accept the Quran as it is, with the teaching of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as understood by the beloved Sahaba and companions. Not our own whims and fancies. We want to distort and change the meaning of Quran so it must impress the West. That is one of the reasons why these Ahmadis and Qadianis are out of the fold of Islam.
Mufti Saab, just about a day ago, one of the sisters embraced Islam after listening to a program on one of the Muslim radio stations. She has recited the Kalima. What would Mufti Saab advise about her Islamic education going forward?
Sister, mashallah, you made the right choice. Quran Kareem states, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. When a person, male or female, embraces Islam, their sins of the past are forgiven. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam further went and elaborated and said the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, innal islama yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam expunges and erases the vices and the sins of the past. So what you need to do is to go to a muallima. A muallima, a female teacher whose beliefs are correct. Otherwise, just send me an email, akhosen@gmail.com, and tell me which area you are in, and inshallah, we will tell you which muallima, female teacher, you should go to. Second, my sister, these are the basic things you must learn immediately. You must learn Surah Fatiha, the first chapter of the Noble Quran. You must learn about wudu and ablution. You must learn about ghusl and taking a bath and so forth Islamically. Then your personal hygiene, your menses and all that, you know, after visiting the toilet, relieving yourself, all the laws of istinja. So all these basic rules you must know, so that Appa, that Muallima, inshallah, will teach you, and you will stay by her, regularly, and every day try and increase your knowledge. May Almighty Allah keep me, keep you, all of us steadfast on Deenul Islam.
Ameen. Mufti Saab, alhamdulillah, in this particular case, the sister is right in our neighborhood, and one of the projects of the Capital Group of Companies is Dawah Classes for Female Adults. It's conducted every Wednesday right here at the at 189 West Road, and there are about eight Mu'allimat that are currently teaching here, inshallah.
MashaAllah, sister, there you have it, direct from Hafiz Wadi. So there are 8 muallimas there. So you speak to them in their leisure time for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. They will teach you also, inshallah. Almighty Allah reward you, reward them. And in that way there, you don't have to travel far. And inshallah, and Allah Ta'ala reward the capital group for this wonderful initiative and increase their capital as well.
I mean, alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib, so far there's about 50 adult students that do attend every Wednesday, and age-wise, looking at many of them from around 19 years old right up till about 82-year-old student as well, Mufti Sahib.
MashaAllah, it's never too late to learn. We learn from the cradle to the grave. Remember that, that is Islam.
I mean, well, that brings us now to our next ad break, just a minute after 3, and we continue with the Q&A shortly after this.